The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is a story you might have heard before. It is The Three Little Bears. Once upon a time, there were three bears. A great big papa bear, a middle-sized mama bear, and a wee little baby bear. They lived in a little house in the forest. They had three chairs, a great big chair for the papa bear, a middle-sized chair for the mama bear, and a wee little chair for the baby bear. And upstairs there were three beds, a great big bed for the papa bear, a middle-sized bed for the mama bear, and a wee little bed for the baby bear. One morning, the mama bear made some porridge for breakfast. She filled a great big bowl for the papa bear, a middle-sized bowl for the mama bear, and a wee little bowl for the baby bear. Then, but the porridge was too hot to eat, so the three bears went out for a walk in the forest. That same morning, a little girl named Goldilocks was walking through the woods. She came to the three bears' house, and she knocked on the door, but nobody called, "Come in!" So she opened the door, and in she went. Goldilocks saw three chairs. She sat in the great big chair. It was too hard. The middle-sized chair was too soft. The baby chair was just right, but it broke when she sat on it. Uh-oh. That was bad. Now Goldilocks spied the porridge. Porridge, by the way, is oatmeal, which I'm sure you know. "I am hungry," she said, so she tasted the porridge. The porridge in the big bowl was too hot. The porridge in the middle-sized bowl was too cold. But the porridge in the wee little bowl was just right, so she ate it all up. And then Goldilocks went upstairs and tried the beds out. The big bed was too hard. The middle-sized bed was too soft. But the wee little bed was oh so nice. So Goldilocks lay down and went to sleep. Then home through the forest and back to their house came the three bears, the great big papa bear, the middle-sized mama bear, and the wee little baby bear. The moment they stepped into the house, they saw that someone had been there. "Oomph," said the papa bear in his great big chair. "Someone has been sitting in my chair." "Land sake," said mama bear in her middle-sized voice. "Someone has been sitting in my chair." "Oh dear," cried the baby bear in his wee little voice. "Someone has been sitting in my chair and has broken it all to bits." And then they looked at the table. "Humph," said the papa bear in his great big voice. "Someone has been tasting my porridge." "And someone has been tasting my porridge," said the mama bear. "Someone has eaten all my porridge all up," said the baby bear sadly. Then up the stairs the three bears with a thump, 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 and a trot, 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 and a skippity, skip, skip. That was the wee little bear. "Humph," said the papa bear in his great big voice. "Someone has been sleeping in my bed." "And someone that has been sleeping in my bed," said the mama bear. "Oh dear," cried the little baby bear in his wee little voice. "And someone has been sleeping in my bed, and here she is right now." Goldilocks opened her eyes, and she saw the three bears. Uh-oh. "Oh," said Goldilocks. She was so surprised that she jumped right out of the window and ran all the way home. and she never saw that house in the forest ever, ever again. And that is the end of The Three Bears. Now, this story is also about a bear, just one this time, but it is a different bear. Paddington at the Zoo. It's about Paddington. Michael by Michael Bond. So here is another Paddington story. One day, Jonathan and Judy decided to take Paddington on an outing to the zoo. Before they set off, Paddington made a large pile of marmalade sandwiches, 6 in all. Before they set off, but when they reached the zoo, the gatekeeper wouldn't let them in. "I'm sorry," he said, "pets aren't allowed." "Pets?" repeated Jonathan. "Paddington isn't a pet," said Judy. "He's one of the family." And Paddington gave the man such a hard stare that the man let them into the zoo without another word. "Come on," said Jonathan. "Why don't I take your picture with the parrot?" "Give a great big smile," called Judy. "Say cheese." "Cheese," said Paddington. "Squawk," said a parrot as it took a big bite out of Paddington's sandwich. "Thank you very much. Squawk, squawk." Paddington looks like Paddington had a marmalade sandwich in his hat. And so the parrot leaned out of the cage and grabbed that sandwich when Paddington took his hat off to wave in the air for his picture. And you can see Paddington has a paper bag in one of his hands, and the sandwiches are sticking out all over the place. But anyways, the big parrot got the sandwich out of his hat. Poor Paddington, he lost a sandwich. Next, they went to see the Siberian wild dog. "Nice doggy," said Paddington. But the Siberian wild dog went, "Woo, woo, 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 woo," and made Paddington jump so much, the rest of a sandwich flew out of his hand. And guess where it landed? Right in the cage with the Siberian wild dog. "Let me take a picture of you with a donkey," said Jonathan. "Hee-haw," brayed the donkey as it saw Paddington's sandwiches. "That's two gone," said Judy. Paddington's smile was getting less cheesy all the time. It looks like the donkey got a sandwich, too. So he only has three left, I think. Maybe not. Maybe just two. It says, "That's two gone," said Paddington. And Paddington's smile was getting less cheesy. He was looking sort of worried that his sandwiches were disappearing before he could eat them. So Paddington's up on a donkey here, and he's having his picture taken on this donkey. The elephant didn't wait to be asked either. It simply made a loud trumpeting noise, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, and I don't know if that's really how an elephant sounds, but let's pretend that it is. So, the elephant reached down with its trunk. Paddington watched as his third sandwich disappeared. He began to feel that going to the zoo was not such a good idea after all. There's the big old elephant taking that sandwich out of Paddington's paper lunch bag. But there was worse to follow. When the lion saw them coming, it gave a great roar. Rawr! It was such a loud roar that Paddington dropped his fourth sandwich on the ground. And before he could say, "Help!" it was surrounded by pigeons. Oh, that's another sandwich gone. He only has two left. The only ones who didn't say anything were the penguins. They just sat there looking sad, as if they were all dressed up for a party, but had nowhere to go. Paddington felt so sorry for them, he gave them sandwich number 5. "Penguins eat fish," a man said sternly. He pointed to a notice. "It is strictly forbidden to give them marmalade sandwiches." While Paddington was looking at the notice, The man helped himself to the last of the sandwiches. "The nerve of it," said Jonathan.
"You need eyes in the back of your head," agreed Judy.
"I need my elevenses," said Paddington. "Zoos make you hungry. Besides, nothing more can happen to me now."
But it did. Just to round things off, the mountain goat ate his sandwich bag.
"That does it," said Jonathan. "If you ask me, it's time we went home."
A few days later, Jonathan showed Paddington the photographs he had taken at the zoo.
"You can have one for your scrapbook," he said.
"Which one do you like best?" asked Judy. And here they are, the photos that Jonathan took, and each photo shows the birds or the donkey or the lion or the pigeons or the parrot. Each one showed an animal stealing one of Paddington's sandwiches.
"Paddington wanted the one with the parrot," he said.
"At least he said thank you when he ate my marmalade sandwich. That's more than any of the others did." And that's the end of the book about Paddington. This story is a story about our very first president of the United States, George Washington. It is about when he was a little boy living with his family. This is a very famous story, and it's about George Washington, of course, but it's also a story about telling the truth and how we should all think about being like young George. When George Washington was a little boy, he lived on a farm in Virginia. His father taught him to ride horses, and he used to take young George about the farm with him so that his son might learn how to take care of the fields and horses and cattle, which means cows, when he grew older. Mr. Washington had planted an orchard of fine fruit trees. There were apple trees, peach trees, pear trees, plum trees, and cherry trees. Once, a particularly fine cherry tree was sent to him from across the ocean. Mr. Washington planted it on the edge of the orchard. He told everyone on the farm to watch it carefully to see that it was not broken or hurt in any way. It grew well, and one spring it was covered with white blossoms. Mr. Washington was pleased to think he would soon have cherries from that little tree. Just about this time, George was given a shiny new hatchet. That's like a little axe. George took it and went about chopping up sticks, hacking into the rails of fences, and cutting whatever else he passed. At last he came to the edge of the orchard, and thinking only of how well his hatchet could cut, and he chopped it into a little cherry tree. The bark was soft, and it cut so easily that George chopped the tree right down and then went on with his play. That evening, when Mr. Washington came in from inspecting the farm, he sent his horse to the stable and walked down to the orchard to look at his cherry tree. He stood in amazement when he saw how it was cut. "Who would have dared to do such a thing?" he asked everyone, but no one could tell him anything about it. Just then, George passed by. "George," his father called in an angry voice, "do you know who killed my cherry tree?" This was a tough question, and George staggered under it for a moment, but he quickly recovered. "I cannot tell a lie, father," he said. "I did it with my hatchet." Mr. Washington looked at George. The boy's face was white, but he looked straight into his father's eyes. "Go into the house, son," Mr. Washington said sternly. George went into the library and waited there for his father. He was very unhappy and very much ashamed. He knew he had been foolish and thoughtless, and that his father had a right to be displeased. Soon Mr. Washington came into the room. "Come here, my boy," he said. George went over to his father. Mr. Washington looked at him long and steadily. "Tell me, son, why did you cut the tree?"
"I was playing, and I did not think," George stammered.
"And now the tree will die. We shall never have any cherries from it."
"But worse than that, you have failed to take care of the tree when I asked you to do so."
George's head was bent, and his cheeks were red from shame.
"I am sorry, Father," he said.
Mr. Washington put his hand on the boy's shoulder.
"Look at me," he said. "I am sorry to have lost my cherry tree, but I am glad that you were brave enough to tell me the truth. I would rather have you truthful and brave than to have a whole orchard full of the finest cherry trees. Never forget that, my son."
George Washington never did forget. To the end of his life, he was just as brave and honorable as he was that day as a little boy. And that's the end of that story. This story is called Why Frog and Snake Never Play Together. And this story is it's a folktale from Africa. And it makes us think about how much friendship the world has missed because people are told by other people that they can't be friends with each other. Once upon a time, the child of Frog was hopping along in the bush when he spied someone new lying across the path before him. This someone was long and slender, and his skin seemed to shine with all the colors of the rainbow.
"Hello there," called Frog Child. "What are you doing lying there in my path?"
"Just warming myself in the sun," answered the someone new, twisting and turning and uncoiling himself.
"My name is Snake Child. What is yours?"
"Well, I am Frog Child. Would you like to play with me?" So Frog Child and Snake Child played together all morning long in the bush.
"Watch what I can do," said Frog Child, and he hopped high into the air.
"I'll teach you how if you want," he offered.
So he taught Snake Child how to hop, and together they hopped up and down the path through the bush.
"Now watch what I can do," said Snake Child, and he crawled on his belly right up the trunk of a tall tree.
"I'll teach you if you want."
So he taught Frog Child how to slide on his belly and climb into trees. After a while, they both grew hungry and decided to go home for lunch, but they promised each other to meet again the next day.
"Thanks for teaching me how to hop," called Snake Child.
"Thanks for teaching me how to crawl up trees," called the Frog Child. And then they each went to their own home.
"Look what I can do, Mother," cried Frog Child, crawling on his belly.
"Where did you learn to do that?" his mother asked.
"Snake Child taught me," he answered. "We played together in the bush this morning. He's my new friend."
"Don't you know that the snake family is a bad family?" his mother asked. "They have poison in their teeth. Don't ever let me catch you playing with one of them ever, ever again. And don't let me see you crawling on your belly either. It isn't proper." Meanwhile, Snake Child went home and hopped up and down for his mother to see.
"Who taught you to do that?" he asked.
"Frog Child did," he said. "He's my new friend."
"What foolishness," said his mother. "Don't you know we've been on bad terms with the Frog family for longer than anyone can remember?
The next time you play with Frog Child, catch him and eat him up, and stop that hopping. It isn't our custom."
So the next morning, when Frog Child met Snake Child in the bush, and the bush means the forest,
and Frog Child met Snake Child in the bush, and he kept his distance.
"I'm afraid I can't go crawling with you today," he called, hopping back a hop or two.
Snake Child eyed him quietly, remember what his mother had told him. "If he gets too close, I'll spring and eat him, he thought. But then he remembered how much fun they had together and how nice Frog Child had been to teach him how to hop. So Snake Child sighed sadly to himself and slid away into the bush. And from that day onward, Frog Child and Snake Child never played together again. But they often sat alone in the sun, each thinking about their one day of friendship. That's the end of that story. This book is called, Mind Your Manners by Nicola Edwards. It takes place in the forest or the jungle, I don't know which, and it's about the animals. There's two parrots, there's a lion, there's a bear, there's a fox, there's an elephant, a raccoon, a little mouse, a big snake, a monkey, of course, a pig, two panda bears, a gray and black striped cat. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe it's another, I think it might be another fox. I can't really see what it is. And that's all, I think. I don't think I've missed anybody, so they're all together in a place out in the forest. And here we go. Just look at this place. It's a nightmare. All the squawking and squealing and tears. Now, everyone, stop right there. And all of you, prick up your ears. If we want to be happy together, we need to have all of the tools. Good manners make life so much better. And they're not just some silly old rules. Now, no one likes mean, greedy grabbers. I'm sure everybody agrees. You can't get far being a snatcher. Polite pandas always say please. Rude tigers soon stop getting presents. And when someone does something nice, just say thank you, smile, and be pleasant. You might find good things happen twice. There's a little mouse carrying a present for the tiger. And the tiger is saying thank you for the present. There's no need to stomp, clomp, and crash by. You don't have to barge past so rudely. One small, simple trick you must try is to tap people and say, excuse me, and there's two elephants clomping through the jungle. And there's a little mouse that does not want to get stomped on by accident. We all make a mess of things sometimes, but if you're a silly old snake, don't dither and slither. Have a strong spine and say sorry when you make a mistake. And this snake has been up a tree and he's accidentally knocked all the apples off the tree, and they've all hit Kitty and the little gray cat, and he's piled their apples and green apples and red apples piled up all around him, and the poor little cat can't move. Now, we share this world with another, so let's make it a friendly place. There's no need to go squashing each other. Just like you, we all need our own space. The first picture shows a rhino and a fox sitting on a log reading books, but the poor fox doesn't have any room because the rhino's taken most of the room and he's squishing the fox on the other end. The next picture shows the rhino and the fox, each with their own space on the same log. The rhino isn't crushing that poor little fox anymore. And now we come to the parrots. We don't have to start squawking like parrots. Learn the meaning of words. Don't be crude, so you don't end up getting in trouble for parroting words that are rude. Uh-oh, don't say bad words is what that meant. Dropping garbage and upsetting nature is not clever, cool, funny, or big. We all need to be good team players. What's the use of one more selfish pig? And one picture shows the pink pig dropping all the stuff he's been eating on it, just tracking behind him, like banana skin, coconut shells, apple cores, some type of nuts, pineapple, pieces of watermelon, peanuts, more hickory nuts or something, whatever that is, and another banana peel. And the pig has been walking around down the path, dumping all this stuff behind him that he's finished eating. The second picture shows the rabbit and the pig sitting down on a blanket in the clearing and enjoying the fruit and nuts together. And the pig is not being selfish anymore. Even if you're the messiest monkey, close your mouth when you're munching your food. No one wants to catch sight of your tonsils or your lunch when it's mashed up and chewed. If you want to be one of the cool cats, try not to gross people out. Don't shower your friends with a snot splat or go sneezing your germs all about. Use a Kleenex, everybody. It's unkind to hurt anyone's feelings, so take care of the words that you speak. Sing out all you like about the sweet things, but keep mean, nasty stuff in your beak. It's okay to enjoy roaring loudly. We all deserve some time to play. That's the lion roaring loudly. And the elephant is just getting his ears blown out. They can't stand it. But all lions should practice those soft growls for the quieter times of the day. Don't make a noise when people are resting. It's a miserable life being crabby, just like an old grouchy grizzly bear. Being unkind makes people unhappy. So be good to each other and share. See how good manners make our lives nicer? Why not brighten up everyone's day? Just look at this place. It's delightful, full of laughter and friendship and play. And there are all the animals sitting quietly playing together. The lion's not roaring. They're talking to each other. They're having a picnic together with the pig. And the rhino's still reading his newspaper. But he's also talking to his friends and not just sitting there reading. And everybody looks like they're happy there in the forest because they've decided all to use good manners. And that is the end of Mind Your Manners by Nicola Edwards. Well, we've come to the end of this episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.